Just a few days ago, local officials were applauding the opening of Deepwater Wind's Massachusetts office here in New Bedford in hopes of launching the Commonwealth's offshore wind industry. Now, in a separate issue, meanwhile, fishing groups and some seaport municipalities in four states, and New Bedford is included here, folks, including New Bedford, they're suing to block the development of a huge offshore wind farm that's planned to be built in the Atlantic Ocean. This was in a story that I saw in Saving Seafood, and the Heartland Institute wrote the story about this group. Joining us now, we have from Saving Seafood, Bob Vanas. Bob, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us in Washington.
Well, good morning, Phil. Happy to be here. But the folks of the hour and who have been handling this case are Dave Frula, who's with me here, who's an attorney with Kelly Dry and Warren here in D.C., and Drew Minkiewicz, who is very well known to folks in the scalloping industry as he routinely represents the Fisheries Survival Fund at various meetings in and about New England. Dave appeared in federal court, and I'd like to actually turn it over to Dave and Drew, who can talk about the case and what they're hoping to do and basically why this particular case in this particular location is different from the other wind energy areas that have not been controversial to the seafood industry.
Sure. Thank you, Bob, for that. And gentlemen, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Yes. Dave, would you like to start off with, what is different about this case? And give us some kind of background for our listeners.
Thank you, Phil. A couple things are different about this case. The first is there are 11 wind farm sites presently under construction being considered in the process of permitting and leasing off the Atlantic coast. Nine of them have been developed and sited in the ocean based on an open public process where proposals were considered, outreach was done to the public, the fishing industry, and other groups about where to put these wind farms. There are two that are not. One's Cape Wind, and the other is this project off Long Island, off the Rockaways. It's 127 square nautical mile area that's sandwiched right in between the main shipping lanes going into and out of New York. It also happens to be fishing grounds for fishing vessels from Massachusetts all the way down to Virginia. They catch scallops primarily for New Bedford, but also summer flounder, monkfish, clams, you name it, a wide variety of fish species, squid as well. And what has happened is that this wind farm has galvanized the interest and opposition of fishing groups from the entire Atlantic seaboard. The Fisheries Survival Fund became engaged back about 5 or 6 years ago when a consortium of three public power, probably the three largest public power companies from the New York area, Long Island Power, Con Ed, and New York Power, provided to the Bureau of Offshore Energy Management, Ocean Energy Management, an unsolicited bid. What they did was basically there is this little-known provision in the Interior Department regulations which says that if a private developer wants to consider building an area, a wind farm in an area of the ocean, all they need to do is apply.
What?
They need to apply. And then what happens, as we've learned throughout the litigation, is the government takes the application, looks at it in-house, and then decides either go or no-go on the area. And that is why everybody's so upset.
So, David, let me just jump in here. I don't blame them for being upset. Are the others unsolicited bids, or did they go through a rigorous process?
No, the only other one that looks at all like this, and it was before, these current regulations are called SMART from the start, ironically enough. The only other wind project that's gone through this process or a process similar where the developer essentially gets to nominate the area was Cape Wind. So deepwater wind, any of the things that you would be talking about, any of the things that the Port of New Bedford would be scaling up to help build and to support haven't gone through this process. In fact, we've actually, in other wind areas, negotiated it so that the scallop and fishing grounds were excluded.
Let me turn over here. Drew, get in on this discussion here. Tell us more about the details, the siting of this wind farm. Who in New Bedford also is part of this lawsuit?
Okay, so as far as people from New Bedford that are party to this lawsuit, we're representing the city of New Bedford as well as the Fishery Survival Fund, which the majority of the membership of the Survival Fund is from New Bedford or homeported there in New Bedford or Fairhaven. This site is, as Dave mentioned, is 127 square miles right off the coast of New York. You're talking it's going to host over close to 200 wind turbines when it's all said and done if they're able to complete it. And it's going to completely block off this area to any kind of commercial fishing with mobile gear, which would be dramatic revenue losses to both scallop and squid fishermen and also people from monkfish and fluke and other species. But the real issue here is this isn't fishermen against wind farms. This is fishermen against a regulatory process that allows private entities to go and condemn parts of the ocean with no public input. That's the issue. And everyone focuses on, oh, they're trying to stop a wind farm. Yes, but we're trying to stop a process that allows people to come in. It's a very busy ocean out there. If you actually go and look at how many different regulations, how many different activities are occurring in our coastal waters from 200 miles in, it's pretty staggering, actually. There's a lot going on out there. I mean, the conception is, you know, it's a vast open ocean. While that may be the case out in the middle of the ocean, on the coastal waters off the United States, it's very busy between fishing activity, different explorations, shipping, naval activity, and the list goes on. And, you know, this would be like giving a developer the ability to just choose a block within downtown New Bedford and say, I'm going to build here.
Sure.
Yeah. And we would never say that's okay in that situation.
Right.
So why is it okay here? Because it's just as busy.
I see exactly where you're heading. And when is this going to be in court?
It's been in court. We filed suit on December 8th. There was a lease held. The state-owned oil company of Norway, Statoil, won for $42.5 million the opportunity to lease this area. We had filed suit and been in court here in federal court in Washington, D.C., for a hearing ahead of the lease. The lease sale went forward, but it was the timing has been structured out so that we have been able to have full briefing in the case and arguments. The arguments were held last Wednesday on our motion for preliminary injunction to halt the leasing program pending consideration of our full lawsuit. So we've been in court. We've been working hard on it. Obviously, the government is a party of Statoil. The developer has also come in on the government side, as one would reasonably expect for the level of investment that they've been making. So we've been working on it right along.
So it seems as though the government, did this start under the previous administration?
It did.
So obviously the previous administration did not account for properly the impact that this would have on the fisheries in the area or any impact of negativity like that.
Absolutely, and that's one of the contentions in our lawsuit is that there are affirmative responsibilities on the government as far as assessing reasonable uses that already exist in the area, such as fishing, and spelled out in the law. And then under the National Environmental Policy Act, they also have to do a full analysis of all the foreseeable impacts of their decision. And they haven't done that in either case. And so that's one of the charges in our lawsuit, is that they haven't looked at the impacts at all of what's going on in the fishing industry. You know, they just received this proposal from a consortium of power companies decided that this would be a good area to develop. They never talked to anyone before they did that. And ironically, the consortium of power companies that chose this place didn't even qualify to bid for the auction, in the auction to develop the area.
Yeah, that's outrageous. That is, plus,
I mean, it shocks the conscience, really, of what's going on here.
Plus, you know, the small, you know, hometown local fishers of squid and scallops. Yeah, this has a huge impact on our community. Let me ask you this. With a new administration in, how does that impact this case now?
That's something that we're going to need to explore, Phil. Obviously, we will, but everybody's just getting organized. We're doing our best in Washington, as we have been for the better part of a couple of years, to explain the situation, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, this administration obviously is just in its infancy. Congressman Zinke has been appointed to be Secretary of the Interior, which he would have oversight over the Bureau of Ocean Energy and Management, or BOEM, that is doing the permitting process. And he has yet to be confirmed. It's likely that he will be, but I don't think this is breaking news that the confirmation process has been going slow for everybody.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to take a while for him to be formally confirmed, and then take a little while to get up to speed. So it's really too early to tell. Obviously, this administration is a lot different than the last one, but it remains to be seen how that will impact this particular issue.
We're cautiously hopeful that the interests of working people will get a little better hearing in this administration, because there was plenty of times when the squid fishermen and the scallopers especially, and also Garden State Seafood and Long Island Commercial Fishing Association, all of whom are plaintiffs, had met with BOEM to explain the impact. This is maybe one of five squid fishing grounds on the East Coast. It probably is the most, as has been explained to BOEM, this is probably one of the richest inshore scallop fishing grounds that exist. And BOEM, based on some very, very sketchy data, has consistently insisted that only 1% of fishermen's income come from this area, so really it's nothing to worry about. At the same time, though, they said this is the most intensively fished in terms of dollar value area of any wind farm.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of getting the soft shoe.
Right, exactly.
In terms of economic impacts.
Yeah. Just offhand, would it be better or not better to have government stop subsidizing and mandating wind power? What are your thoughts on that?
The facts of the matter are that these projects aren't profitable without some sort of government subsidy. The question is that something that's worth using public dollars? Is creating alternative energy, or, you know, some say sustainable energy, and we can have a debate about that, but is that a good use of creating of the taxpayer dollars? And, you know, that's really a personal decision as whether or not this is using limited taxpayer resources to create energy when there are other sources available that you don't have to subsidize so heavily.
And interestingly, Phil, one of the first lines in our opening brief was that our plaintiff group, which again included all the fishing groups in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and also the town of Borough of Barnegat Light, New Jersey, we started the brief by saying that the plaintiffs probably have as many views about wind energy as the public in general. Mayor Mitchell has been a strong proponent of offshore wind and renewable energy, and more power to him. But yet he's joined the suit because he understands the process is wrong.
Sure. Well, this is a very interesting case. Obviously, it has local implications. And back in December, the court provisionally allowed this auction to proceed. And now we're getting caught up on all the details, ladies and gentlemen. Could I ask that we stay in touch so that we can follow this case with both of you?
That would be super. Thanks for your interest, Phil.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Drew Minkiewicz, David Frula.